for the teaching of God's Word. Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you for another day you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the freedoms that we have to worship. And these are based on the blood and lives of men who have died on the battlefield to preserve our freedom. We thank you so much, Lord, for this great sacrifice. And Father, we thank you ultimately for the sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank you, Lord, for the life we can have through faith in your Son. We pray, Lord, that we might continue to take in your word of life so that we might grow thereby. Sanctify us through your truth, because your word is truth. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. And we left off last time in Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. We have here one of the key prophecies in the book of Jeremiah, the prophecy of the 70-year captivity. Verse 11 says, "This whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass, when the 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, saith the Lord, and I will make it a perpetual desolation." We know that the 70-year captivity, Jeremiah is writing around 605 B.C., 605, 604 B.C. So he's probably referring to the beginning of the 70-year captivity, when the first wave of the Babylonians came in and took those captive back to their land. And the beginning point is not 586, it's 605. Now, when we look at the possibility of the beginning and ending of the 70 weeks, we have a couple options. Now, I know he can't read this, but we looked at this last week. We have in Tom Constable's study notes, this is where this chart comes from. We have the first deportation around 605, and this is the beginning of the 70-year captivity, or the 70 years of punishment. And then 536 is when the temple restructuring began. And just a few years before that, 539 is when the nation of Babylon is punished. So around that time, we have the fulfillment of the 70-year captivity. So the Medes and Persians captured Babylon in 539 B.C. Now, I want to take a look at this in reference to the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, we see a chronology. And I'm going to just put this chart on there. I don't know if you can you read that back there? Man, I need to enlarge that a little, just slightly. I'll try to. It goes off the screen when I do that. There we go. Okay. Here, a little better. This is an excellent chart showing the chronology of the book of Daniel. And we know that the book of Daniel was not written in exact chronological order. And that's very important. We have here the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And his reign began in 605. And that was actually the beginning of Daniel's 70th week. And then it ends at 562. Now the question was Nebuchadnezzar the king when the captivity ended? And the answer is no. He was not. Later on, his son, we have here, his descendant was reigning at that time. Now, notice here, Daniel was raised to power in chapter 1, right around that time. So Daniel was taken in the first deportation. So right around this chapter in Jeremiah, the same time period, we have Daniel 1 transpiring. So it's very interesting. Daniel 1 is, and Daniel's three friends are taken into captivity in that first wave. We know that Ezekiel is taken in captivity in the second wave, and then ultimately Jeremiah, he sees the destruction of the city. So three prophets related to the three deportations. Then we have the around the image of the dream in chapter 2, that statue that is depicted in Daniel 2 around 602 BC. Fiery furnace, we really don't have any specific chronological markers, but probably occurred around 600 BC. That's why you have the question mark. Same as a tree dream, probably a little later, 570. And then we have the reign of Nabonidus in Belshazzar. And this is the king that was ruling when we have the destruction of the Babylonian Empire by the Medes and Persians. See, that was the one who was ruling. We have the, actually chapter 7 falls under this category, vision of the four beasts, 556 BC, vision of ram and goat, 554, and then the handwriting on the wall. Remember, this is, you know, the night when the kingdom would be taken over. And, you know, the hand, we use that as a figure of speech today. The handwriting is on the wall. Your destiny, your doom is certain. Judgment is imminent, kind of thing. And so this depicted the final judgment of the Babylonian Empire in 539 BC. And then we have the reign of the Medes and Persians. Notice that, Cyrus and Darius. So this is a Medo-Persian kingdom depicted. So we have the Babylonian kingdom depicted down through chapter 8, except for chapter 6, which, by the way, the Lion's Den episode falls under the Medo-Persian Empire. And that's the one that is out of chronological order. But for literary purposes, the reign of King Darius and Cyrus. And this is when the vision of the 70 weeks occurred, 538 BC, right at Daniel's praying, right at the end of the 70-year captivity. So it's interesting to put these things in light of Daniel's book. Daniel, right at the beginning. So Daniel survived the entire 70 years. And he's writing at the end and with this great prophecy of the 77s of Daniel. And the reason why the nation was in captivity, as we saw under the Mosaic Law in Leviticus, they did not allow the Sabbath. One of the reasons, I'm saying not the only reason, obviously their iniquity and their rebellion, their idolatry, God's punishing them. But they did not allow the land to rest every 7 years. And so for every episode, every period where they did not allow the land to rest, they would have a year of captivity. Now if you multiply that out, that'd be 490. Right, 490 year span, and you say, what 490 years did they not allow the Sabbath rest? And people come up with various ideas, but it couldn't be simply that part all the way down through history they were faithful in doing that, and partly they were unfaithful. So God keeps a tally in total, and it comes up to 490 years. Right, what's amazing about the symmetry of Daniel 77. You know, he's praying at the end of 70-year captivity, and he's waiting for the return back to the land, but God's looking for the ultimate restoration of Israel and the kingdom. That's his goal. And that would cover two advents, two comings. And so you have a future 490 years. So you have a 490 years in the past, and you have in the future a 490-year period, and then a 70-year period captivity. It's amazing how the details of these prophecies work out, and we went over that here. What was that, Christmas time or that time we went over Daniel 77? But here we have the Lion's Den episode that occurs under the reign of Darius, 537, and then the final vision, 536. So that is the chronology of Daniel, and this and Jeremiah fits nicely into that episode of the 70-year captivity. All right. Also want to show in this prophecy in verse 12 that we may have a near and far view. Many times in Bible prophecy you have the immediate judgment the nation's facing and then ultimate judgment or ultimate restoration. You have a near view. And then the very next verse can span thousands of years later. And that's why we have to be careful. We have to rightly divide the word and make sure that, you know, did part B, was part B fulfilled when this occurred? And we see, no, it wasn't. And there's a future fulfillment. If there's other verses that can confirm that, then we have that, what's called the mountain peaks of prophecy. Now, Clarence Larkin has an excellent chart on this. And there's a guy I was talking to at this Grace Conference, this pastor. And I said, you know, he said, do you have Clarence Larkin's charts? And I said, I do at home. I'm not selling those. But I said, there's a guy from Louisiana that colored these charts. You see, the original charts are in black and white. So I found online, you can order these online, by the way, all Clarence Larkin's charts in color. And this is the color chart of Clarence Larkin, Mountain Peaks of Prophecy. And what the prophet saw is this line. Prophets is looking. They're looking at these various mountain peaks. All right? They see the first coming. They see the prophecy of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, for instance, in Micah 5:2. But if you look at Micah 5:3, which is not on this chart, we have four, we have the second coming. See? What they didn't see is this church age, this valley in between. And that's why the church age is a mystery. We are living in an unforeseen age. And that's why even in Daniel's prophecy, you have a gap between two comings, a gap between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. But many of these prophecies, it looks like they're squeezed together. They're occurring at the same time. Just like if you're in Colorado and you see a series of mountain peaks, but you know there's valleys in between those mountain peaks. They appear to be close together, but in reality, time, they are spread far apart. And so the same thing what the prophets are seeing. They see the death of Christ in his first coming, but then they see a Christ who reigns in righteousness. And that's why they were confused. Jesus, we're expecting you to be king. You're the king of the Jews. Where's your kingdom? He offered it, but obviously he did not set up his kingdom, not even in a spiritual way. And his first coming, the church is not, church age is not the kingdom. That's another reason why, if it's a mystery, it's not the kingdom. You ever think about that? Why? The kingdom was prophesied in the Old Testament. The kingdom was prophesied in the Old Testament, but the church age is truly a mystery. It's not the kingdom. Okay. Now, so these mountain peaks of prophecy all the way to the new heavens and new earth, they're seeing the peak in God's program. And the valley is unhidden and not foreseen. Okay. Now, having said that, by the way, this prophecy of Babylon's destruction can have a near and far fulfillment. The near fulfillment can even be in the days of those whom he is writing to, the Judeans. Obviously, he's addressing those who are facing imminent judgment in Judah. The Babylonians are coming, but you know, after the 77s, they're going to be judged. Now, Daniel's one of those few people that survived the entire, 70-year captivity. But ultimately, they're going to be judged, and there will be a perpetual desolation that will occur in the tribulation period. And this is where I see at the end of verse 12. So let's go back to our text here. And it'll come to pass that after 70 years are completed, that I will punish the king of Babylon and the nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for the iniquity, saith the Lord. Okay, that was fulfilled historically around 539 B.C. And then the restoration, the rebuilding of the temple in 536 B.C. But the nation was judged. Then this phrase, I will make it a continual desolation. Now, when he spoke about the judgment on the land of Israel, he said this whole land shall be a desolation. But then when he speaks of Babylon's judgment, he says this will be a perpetual desolation. Okay? So, The perpetual desolation will occur when God destroys future Babylon, which is mentioned in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. In that Babylon's going to rise back to power. And that will be a literal city and a system. Keep in mind, in Revelation 17 and 18, Babylon is a system of evil, a worldwide system, and Antichrist will have his tenants in that system. And it's a religious system, certainly. Some think it's the Roman Catholic Church of Dave Hunt, but I think it's broader than that, obviously. It's broader than simply the Catholic Church. I think it's the amalgamation of all religions into one anti-God religion. And also, it's a city. It's a commercial city. It's a literal city. As Andy Woods wrote his thesis, Babylon means Babylon. Some say, well, that's just a code word for Jerusalem. See? And that's a problem, by the way, in Dave Hunt's book. I like Dave Hunt a lot, but he takes Babylon as a code word for Jerusalem. No, why don't we take it straightforward literally? Babylon means Babylon. Babylon, and that's why he tries to tie it into the Roman Catholic Church. You know, it was a city on seven hills. Well, that's Rome and all that. He tries to make that compare as wealthy. Yeah, there's some similarities there, but there are other differences when you study the future Babylon. Keep in mind, there was a Tower of Babel, which I think was the first example of the world's religions coming together, people coming together in rebellion against God. And I think there was worship of the stars on that ziggurat, that building that they built to reach into the second heaven. And a lot of those ziggurats that are discovered has astrological symbols, and they worship the stars. And so it's opposed. They are worshiping, as Romans 1 says, the creation rather than the creator. And that's what we have today in the radical environmentalism. It's the worship of the creation and not of the creator. Don't need to pray to God, but we got to protect the environment. See, what's more important? See, but there's a lot of parallels. And Charles Dyer, who wrote the book on several books on Babylon, which are excellent, I had him as a professor at Dallas Seminary in the Old Testament department, and then he was called to Moody Bible Institute. And I have a chart here we're going to look at that compares the two chapters in Jeremiah to the two chapters in Revelation. Now, later on, Jeremiah expands on this judgment of Babylon. The expansion of the Babylonian judgment is in chapter 50 and 51. So he goes into greater detail in chapter 50 and 51 of Jeremiah on Babylon's destruction. So if you want to look at chapter 50 of Jeremiah, you can turn there. I won't put it on here, the screen, but I want to put this chart up. And we're going to look at some comparisons between that and Revelation chapter 17 and 18. So those two chapters you need to study side by side. The chapters of Jeremiah chapter 51 and 52, and then Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Give you a minute to turn there. Okay, Charles Dyer compares the language of the two, and it seems like Jeremiah is referring to the same thing as mentioned in the book of Revelation about future Babylon. Okay, this is future Babylon. Keep in mind, there's some near elements of Babylon's destruction, and there's some things that don't fit the destruction of Babylon. And this is where liberal critics come in. Liberal critics come in and say, well, Jeremiah described Babylon as a perpetual desolation. That didn't occur when the Chaldeans or the Cyprus took over, Medo-Persians took over, and therefore the Bible's wrong. Wait a second, maybe God's looking at the far future, see? And so when you compare it to Revelation, it seems like there's a lot of interesting parallels. First of all, Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, Jeremiah 51, 7a. You see that imagery of the golden cup. You also see that imagery of the golden cup in Revelation 17, 3 and 4 and 18, 6. I saw a woman having in her hand a gold cup. It's interesting. Interesting parallel. Dwelling on many waters. O you who dwell by many waters, Jeremiah 51:13. We know where Babylon is located, near the Tigris-Euphrates River. We see it dwelling by many waters. And then Revelation 17:1. I show you the judgment of the great harlot which sits on many waters. Revelation 17:1. And then involved with nations, chapter 51, verse 7b. The nations have drunk of her wine. Therefore, the nations are going mad, Jeremiah 51, 7b. Revelation 17:2 says, those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. See that imagery, a comparison of the nations being intoxicated with Babylon. And therefore, they're involved in the immoral system of Babylon. And then the wealth, of course, has attracted them to the city, as well as the immorality. Name the same. The word, chapter 50, verse 1 of Jeremiah, the word which the Lord spoke concerning Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans. And we have the name, Babylon the Great, Revelation 17:5. Revelation 18:10, the great city, Babylon. Didn't say Jerusalem. Not Jerusalem, Babylon, the strong city. Now, if you have clear, direct imagery in the Old Testament, why call Babylon Jerusalem? See, the book of Revelation is alluding to the Old Testament in this imagery, and it fits better than simply Jerusalem. All right, a few more comparisons. The destruction of Babylon. He has three things, parallels under destruction between Jeremiah and Revelation. Babylon will be destroyed suddenly. Jeremiah 51:8. Suddenly Babylon has fallen and been broken. Revelation 18:8. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come. Pestilence, a mourning, and famine. So immediate destruction. And then destroyed by fire. Jeremiah 51:30. Their dwelling places are set on fire. Revelation 17:16. The ten horns will burn her up with fire. And she shall be burned up with fire. Revelation 18:18. Show that the city will be destroyed by fire. And then never to be inhabited. And this is the key one, I think, that shows you this is not the historic fulfillment of Babylon's destruction, but the ultimate fulfillment. This is the important, I think, one of the key things to indicate that this did not happen in Jeremiah's day. Not because the Bible's not true, but because a prophecy awaits a future fulfillment. Just like people look at Jesus today, we can't be king. He didn't bring in the kingdom. Even Jewish scholars today, well, Jesus is not the Messiah. Messiah was going to bring in the kingdom. Well, that's going to occur in the future. That hasn't happened yet. Never to be inhabited. It will never again be inhabited or dwelt in from generation to generation. Jeremiah 50:39. Notice 18:21. Thus Babylon the Great will be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. See? Revelation 18:21. So at the end of the tribulation going into the kingdom, Babylon will be wiped out completely. Then punished according to her deeds. Jeremiah 50:29. Repay her according to her works, according to all that she has done, so do to her. Revelation 18:6. Pay her back even as she has paid. Give back to her double according to her deeds. You can see the amazing comparison between Revelation 17:18 and Jeremiah. You know, John is drawing from Jeremiah. Then the fall illustrated like a stone thrown into a river. Jeremiah 51:63 and 64. You will tie a stone to it and throw it in the midst of the Euphrates and say, just as Babylon sank down and shall not rise again. Revelation 18:21, and a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone, threw it into the sea, saying, Thus will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. Revelation 18, 21. The response, God's people are to flee, exit Babylon. Jeremiah 51, 6, flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you shall save his life. Jeremiah 51, 8, or 51, 6. Jeremiah 51, 45, come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. Jeremiah 51, 45. Compare that to Revelation 18, 4. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, and that you may not receive her plague. So a call to flee in both occurrences. Heaven to rejoice. Jeremiah 51, 48. Thus heaven and earth will, and all that is in them will shout for joy over Babylon, for the destroyers will come to her from the north, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 51, 48. Jeremiah 18, 20. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles, prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. So, call to rejoicing. Again, Revelation 18, 20. Then, we have the various prophecies concerning the nation. So, one right there. Let's go back to our text. So, it's amazing that we have these parallels between the book of Revelation and later on the Babylon mentioned in Jeremiah 50 and 51. He spends a lot of time on the destruction of Babylon. He just here is hinting at its destruction. Okay, let's take a look at 13. So I'll bring on that land all my words which I pronounce against it, all that is written in this book which Jeremiah has pronounced concerning all the nations. Now the land here is Babylonia. I'm going to bring everything that I prophesied upon the land of Babylonia. And everything that is written in this book, that would be chapter 50 and 51. That would include that. Notice he says, all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied. So that would be the future judgment as well. Everything that he prophesied will come to pass against Babylon. Now, there are other nations that will be a judge around Babylon. Remember, Babylon comes with help from the north. And there are other nations, though, that have oppressed Judah, and they will be also judged. So he gets into the various nations. And by the way, again, Jeremiah expands on the various nations surrounding Judah that will be judged. And later in this chapter, we will see those nations that God will judge. He lists them by name. For many nations and great kings shall be served by them also, and I will repay them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. Now, many nations and great kings will enslave the Babylonians, just as they enslaved my people. I will punish them in proportion to the suffering they cause my people. And then we see, let's take a look at Habakkuk 2, verse 8. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 8. And then we'll look at the following passage. Here we go. Because you plunder many nations, all the remnant of the people shall plunder you. Because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and all who dwell in it. So Habakkuk, you know, again, that question, you're judging God's people. You're using a more ungodly nation to judge God's people. And he says, I'm going to judge those who judge you. And the Babylonians will be judged as well. Daniel 5:28, we see historically that prophecy of the kingdom being taken over by the Medes and Persians. Remember that handwriting on the wall that we mentioned. Perez, that phrase there in the Aramaic means your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. And so the judgment, Daniel was promoted from one day. Notice that. He's the third ruler in the kingdom for one day. Wow, that's disappointing. Finally got to the top. That was it, one day. So other nations will be judged along with Babylonia. Verse 14, back in Jeremiah, for many nations and great kings shall be served by them. Now, verse 15 says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel to me, take this wine cup of fury from my hand and cause all the nations whom I have sent you to drink it. A lot of times in the Bible, you see this imagery of drunkenness referring to judgment. Drunkenness is a picture in the Bible many times of judgment. And so God's going to cause these nations to drink of his wrath, the wine and cup of his wrath. So this ultimately points to the tribulation period when God will judge the nations. We see the judgment in the tribulation period in Revelation 14, 8 and 10. Again, there's a near-far fulfillment in this prophecy. So we have to see it in both aspects. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Another angel followed, saying, Babylon has fallen, that great city, because she made all the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. See, the surrounding nations associated with Babylon will also drink of that wine cup of judgment. And this is tribulation here. Revelation 14:10. He himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. This is those who worship the beast and false prophet. And notice here, the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image, whoever receives a mark of his name. It shows that hell is eternal. Eternal. Now, look at Revelation 14, 18 through 20. Revelation 14, 18 through 20. Another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire. He cried out with a loud cry to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the cluster of the vine of the earth, for grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the wine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city, and blood came out of the winepress, up to the horses' bridles for 1,600 furlongs. Again, this imagery of the wrath of God. And they're thrust into the winepress of God's judgment. Revelation chapter 16, verses 5 through 7. I heard the angel of the water saying, you're righteous, O Lord, the one who is and was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. They have shed the blood of saints and prophets. You have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. And then verse 7. Let's take a look at, actually 19, we'll look, jump down to 16:19. Now the great city was divided into three parts. This is the city of Jerusalem in the tribulation. There'll be a great earthquake that will be unparalleled, by the way, as has not occurred since men were on the earth. Future earthquake will be off the Richter scale. We'll have 15. It only goes up to 10. And then the great city was divided into three parts. The city of Jerusalem will be split into three parts. And then at that time, Babylon was remembered to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Notice again, that cup of wine of God's judgment is the imagery used there. Then we have Revelation 18:6. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. So God's preparing a cup for her. Many times you see these mysteries, you know, and there's a wife that hates her husband, so she prepares this cup and puts some drops there to make sure that the husband won't wake up forever. So you be careful what you drink, you know. God has, what's that, I'm kidding, laughing. What's that? All right. Now, notice verse 16. Let's go back to our text here. So God's going to send these nations. The wine cup is his anger. And then verse 16, they will drink and stagger and go mad because of the sword that I will send among them. So that pictures here judgment. God will send a sword. When they drink it, they will stagger. Crazed by the warfare, I will send among them. Now, it's interesting in the Hebrew, the word stagger. Normally you think of the word drunkenness, but also the idea can't mean vomit loudly. In the Hebrew, vomit loudly, some translations. And they'll act like a madman. I think I told you a story of working next to a bar. I was at Pizza Hut delivery, and we were located right next to a bar. And we were open till 2 in the morning when the bar closed, and we'd see people stagger out of that. It was pathetic. And then one person just vomited a river. It's like, it was just like these people are having fun, enjoying themselves, you know. So they're acting like an idiot, going like a nut. And that's what drunkenness will do to you, acting like a madman. Vomiting and acting like a madman. God will judge these nations. I said, there can't be any pleasure in that. The intensity of the onslaught and their frightful loss of life will be absolutely maddening. And when God sends judgment to these nations. Verse 17, then I took the cup from the Lord's hand and made all the nations drink to whom the Lord has sent me. All the nations here are expanded upon in chapter 46 through 51. So later in the book, he addresses these nations individually. He just briefly mentions these nations in this section, just like he does with Babylon. He mentions Babylon's judgment. He expands on that judgment later in the book. He mentions these nations and God, and there's a section in Jeremiah dealing with nations. And let's see if I can pull up the outline Bible. And we're going to look at chapter 46 through 51. Let's see. We have the judgment of Egypt, which occurs in chapter 46. And chapter 47, we have the judgment of Philistia. Know if I can do it this way here. I'll just read this. I think this is from, let's see here, the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Let me try to pull up the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and I'll show you this chart at the beginning of the book here. And if not, I'll just read it off the sheet here. But if you have the Bible Knowledge Commentary at home, you have this outline at the beginning of the Bible Knowledge Commentary. Let's go back to here, Jeremiah 1. And we'll read from that. I'm not going to take too much time here, but here we go. All right, let's enlarge this. And then we'll look at this outline here. Okay. Notice here this major section, number 3, prophecies against the nation. Can you read that back there? No. Okay. Let me increase the font just a little larger here. How about that? Can you read that? Okay. We have here prophecy concerning the nations from chapter 46 to 51. All right. And then the prophecy against Egypt will be in chapter 46. Egypt will be defeated at Carchemish. Chapter 46, 1 through 12, and then Egypt will be invaded and exiled. Chapter 46, 13 to 26, Israel will be regathered. 46, 27, 28. Secondly, B, prophecy against Philistia, the Philistines along the coast. So we have Egypt to the south, Philistia along the coast, chapter 47. Moab's on the other side of the Jordan River. That's their enemies to the east. Philistia would be to the west. Moab's judgment, chapter 48. And then heading from Moab, there's three nations on the other side of the Jordan: Moab, Ammon, and Edom. Edom would be the one further south. I'll show you a map here in a minute. Edom's judgments, chapter 49, 7 through 22. And in Ammon 49, 1 through 6, Damascus judgment, chapter 49, that's to the north. That would be Syria, north of the land. And it's the city of Damascus. That would be Damascus, Syria. That's where Paul, by the way, was led down over the wall by a basket. Remember, he was on the road to Damascus, and Paul was saved. Same town, ancient city. I think it was probably one of the most ancient ones in the world, even to this day. Continual existence, Damascus. So prophecy against Damascus, chapter 49, 23 through 27. Kedar and Hazor, prophecy, 49, 28 through 33. Elam, which would be near Babylon. Some of these places are not clear, the location. Elam is up near Babylonia, chapter 49. I'll show you that on the map. And then prophecy of Babylon in chapter 50 and 51, as we mentioned earlier. And I think that's the last one mentioned. And then Jerusalem's destruction at the end of the book. So Jeremiah ends with the surrounding nations, their judgment, and then he ends with the destruction of Jerusalem at the end of the book. All right, let's look at these nations. We're going to look at them in chapter 26, verse 18. Let's begin there. And what I'm going to do, look in your Bibles here, and we're going to list those nations here that will be judged. Is it 25:18, right? That's 25:18. Okay. First of all, we have Jerusalem, okay? And the cities of Judea, right? Verse 18. I'm just going to mark that in blue. Okay. Hopefully that'll work here. Here we go. Egypt. All right. Egypt in verse 19. See that? Egypt will be judged. Okay. And then we have the mixed multitude and all the kings of the land of Uz. The land of Uz. Okay. All the kings of the land of the Philistines. And then he lists the individual cities of Philistia. These are the cities of the Philistines. Now there's one missing here, but we have the, normally think of the five major cities of the Philistines: Ashkelon, Gaza, Ekron, and Ashdod. Those cities there. So those are the individual cities that are to the west of Jerusalem on along the Mediterranean coast. We'll see that in a minute. We're just going to identify them right now. And this is Bible study. We need to see the big picture before you understand the details. And just simply a reading of the text and marking these are very helpful, going through and highlighting them. In verse 21, we have Edom, Moab, and the people of Ammon. Those are the three nations who are Israel's enemies on the other side of the Jordan River. So we have Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Those three, those are on the other side of the Jordan River. Okay. Then we have Tyre. Tyre is located along the coast, further north. If you take the map of the land of Israel, we hear the cities of Tyre and Sidon mentioned, you know, a lot in the Bible. So Tyre is also mentioned in prophecy. And by the way, the king of Tyre is a precursor. His judgment parallels the judgment of Satan. Remember the prince of Tyre, the king of Tyre, and their arrogance. They were major traders of the in the shipping industry. So all the kings of the Tyre, and notice Sidon, all the kings of Sidon. That was a twin city, just like Dallas, Fort Worth. Tyre, Sidon, twin cities along the coast. And notice the kings of the coastlands. So he shows you the location area. Those are along the Mediterranean coast of the land of Israel. All right. Now we go out into the desert area in verse 23, and this would be west of the land of Israel, out in the desert region. Dedan, Tema, and Buz. Now, a few of these locations are unknown, but there's some that are identified. And these are from, even Job's friends came from one of these lands, one of Job's friends. So this is in the area of Arabia. Notice all the kings of Arabia. So we have Saudi Arabia, by the way, in that area today. Would be the desert region. This is a desert region that is south east of the land of Israel. Those nations, Arabia. And notice a multitude who, what? 24, dwell in the desert. See? Desert dwellers, they will be judged. Kings of Zimri and the kings of Elam. Again, some of these locations are unknown. But Elam is identified around Babylon. This would be in the Fertile Crescent, would be north. This would be northeast of the land of Judah. And as well as the Medes. The Medes were from the north. North, all the kings of the Medes. Remember the Medo-Persian Empire. Okay. So he's going to judge the Medes as well. The kings of the Medes. All right. And then other kings that are of the north. Babylon comes with other entities that are not mentioned here from the north, far and near, one with another. Now, I want to show you one an interesting language that shows you the far view. And all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth. See that phrase? And all the kingdoms of the world. So ultimately, this will be fulfilled in what? The tribulation period, when God judges the nations. So again, the near view, far view. This is the mountain peaks and prophecy here. So let me go back and do this. And we're going to look at a map and identify these most of these locations. There are two or three that even, you know, the scholars do not know where they're located. It's not uncertain. So there's a couple of these that haven't been identified. But just like many cities and entities in the past, archaeological discoveries eventually identifies these locations. You know, the Bible stands true. I think years ago, there were archaeologists or there was liberal skeptics say the Hittites, you know, there's no such thing as a Hittite civilization. And then guess what? They found archaeological discoveries of a people called the Hittites. And I think one day these cities will be found. And before the Lord returns, I think these will be identified one day through further discovery. The Bible always stands true against its critics. Let's take a look at a map here. And I believe I have it located here. I do. Okay, let's go. And all right. I'm going to try to zoom in on these. And I don't know if you can see this. Let's see if I can use my pointer. We'll take our time here. I'm not in a hurry. Are you in a hurry? I'm not in a hurry. Okay. I got my finger, too. Finger makes a good pointer. Okay. All right. Here's the Persian Empire. And Media would be here. The land of Israel would be over here, okay? The Medes would be in this area right here. See Nineveh, Tigris, Euphrates River, Babylon. Babylon here, Babylonia would be here. Media would be here. Elam, I think, is not mentioned. It's over in this region here. Let's see if that's in... that Media... This would be modern-day Iran, by the way. This is an area of Iran. And Media would be located in modern-day Iran. in Persia. And Babylonia would be in Iraq, modern-day Iraq. Syria, modern-day Syria, would include Damascus. Find it interesting comparing these to current nations. Now, the boundary lines may change, but all these nations are hostile to Israel today. Understand that. And then Egypt, certainly, down here, south of the land of Israel. Then we have, in this map here, okay, here's Elam, right here. Elam, right here, along the Persian Gulf. See? Babylonia, right here. Egypt. Egypt's down there again. I know where Egypt is. And I have Tyre located up here. See, Jerusalem's here, Dead Sea, Sea of Galilee. Tyre's located along the coast, north of Israel. Land of Philistia. Remember those five cities? Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, Gezer. So those four cities mentioned there in Philistia, those would be the Philistines that gave Israel problems. And this map, I think, actually is an actual map representing the time period of Jeremiah, when Jeremiah wrote this. So, well, no, the northern kingdom there was gone. So this predates Jeremiah, but still Judah, Philistia. Now notice the three countries here, the Edomites down here in the south. That's where Petra's located. You know, the Jews will flee to Petra in the tribulation, the Arab Edom. Moab's north of that, Moabites, and that's the story of Ruth, Moabitess. And then we have the Ammonites north of there. So we have, remember, the one of Sion and Og, they were kings conquered before the children went into the land of Israel. So the Edomites, the Moabites, the Ammonites. We also had the descendants of Abraham's nephew, Lot. Remember, Lot had two children, and they turned out to be the enemies of the land of Israel. I think it was Ammon and Moab, right? The Ammonites and the Moabites. They came from that incestuous relationship. Those nations will be judged. They attacked Israel, and they did not help when Israel was attacked. So we have here, Sidon is north here. Well, I think actually it's down further south on Tyre and Sidon. This is a closer view of Philistia, the cities there. Ekron, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gaza. Philistia there, it's a closer view there. You can see that. The Philistines. And let's see here. Syria. Syria, located north of the Sea of Galilee. And Damascus would represent Syria being judged. Damascus is located here north of the land of Israel. And that's the nation mentioned there in this prophecy. And then let's see which one we left out. A couple of these are, the Arabian Desert, right? I got this for the Arabian Desert. Tema and Dedan, remember those two mentioned here. The area in Duma, these are Arabian locations, nomadic tribes in the land of the Arabia, those locations there. And then we have the background, the book of Job, I think, took place in that area, by the way. I'd like to teach a course on biblical geography. It'd be fun to go through and do that. I might do that at one point. So we have Babylonia, Assyria there early on until eventually it took over this whole region, Fertile Crescent, Elam. All right. I think we covered most of them there. This is modern day. That would be modern day Saudi Arabia, those desert regions. So think about the modern nations today that are opposed to Israel, where these locations are. Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Iran, We have Syria, and even where Beirut is, Lebanon. We have here, Jordan. All those nations are still enemies of Israel, and they'll be judged one day. So those surrounding nations eventually will be judged in the tribulation period. Okay, let's see here. Make sure I didn't miss anything here. I think I covered most of them. Land of Israel. I think I had Sidon on one of these. And that would be it. Okay. All right. Oh, I had that chart up there. That slide. Okay. All right, let's go back here. And we're almost out of time. But we're going to pick back up in verse 18. You can read down through 18 through the end of the chapter. That's your homework assignment for next week. And then identify, try to take a map and identify these nations. Even I know some of you probably don't own a Bible atlas, but if you do, or even the maps in your back of your Bible, be interesting to try to identify the location of these places. Okay, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, which shows that you are faithful. And Lord, you are a just God, and you are patient and long-suffering. But when people continually rebel against you and defy you and express their hatred toward you, Lord, we know that you will judge. And Father, we do thank you for that justice. We thank you, Lord, though, that if there's those who are unbelieving, we can believe in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that the Savior of the world came down to die on the cross. If you're listening to this and not a believer, I encourage you simply to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you and gave himself for you, who died on the cross for your sins, who rose bodily from the dead. I encourage you to place your personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.